Excuse me, the recording has started.
Thank you very much, Jane. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSO Council meeting on the 1st of December 2016. Would you please acknowledge your name when I call it now so we know you are able to speak, especially for the votes that we have during this call. We'll therefore know you're on the line and that you have no connection issues. You know, James Liddell.
Here.
Darcy Southwell has sent her apologies and given her proxy to Michaela Nalem. So, Michaela Nalem?
Yes.
Donna Austin?
Here.
Rubens Kuhl?
Rubens here.
Keith Drazik?
Here.
Valerie Tan? I believe we're still trying to dial out to Valerie. Phil Corwin?
Present.
Susan Kawaguchi?
Here.
Paul McGrady?
Here.
Heather Forrest?
Here, Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you. Heather might run into connectivity issues later and has therefore given her proxy to Paul McGrady should she be unable to vote. Wolf Olishnerbin?
I'm here.
Tony Harris?
I'm here.
Rafiq Damak?
I'm here.
Stephanie Perrin? Hello, Stephanie, can you hear us? Edward Morris?
Here.
Am I also there?
I'm here.
Marilia Maciel?
Here.
Johan Helsingius?
Here.
Sarah Longdonwall?
Welcome.
Carlos Raul Gutierrez. Carlos, can you hear us? I believe Carlos's line has dropped. We'll be dialing back out immediately. And Patrick Miles. I don't believe Patrick has joined us right now. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Marika Kearney, Julie Headland, David Tate, Keith Chan, Emily Barabas, Terry Agnew, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. Barry Cobb is also on the line with us, as well as Josh Sprouse for technical support. And we have received apologies from Glenn de Saint-Géry. May I please remind everyone to state your names before you speak for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, James.
Can you hear me? Yes.
This is Stefania Milan. You forgot to call my name. I'm here. Hello?
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you. We can hear you now. Thank you very much.
Great.
Okay. Thank you,
Hello,
Natalie.
Stephanie.
Thank you, Melania and Stephanie. So just a note here that if you're not speaking, please mute your line. We had some background noise during the roll call. Thank you. Okay. Let's take... Sorry, go ahead. Was someone trying to speak?
Hi, this is Valerie Tan here. I've just called in.
Oh, hi, fantastic. Jane. Thanks, Valerie. I'm glad that you were able to get connected. And could we amend the roll call to note that Valerie has joined, Natalie?
Noted. Thank you.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. And welcome, Valerie. Okay, so moving on then to item 1.2, updates to any statements of interest. Do any councillors have any updates or amendments to their statements of interest or their status as a councillor? If so, please raise your hand in the Adobe room or otherwise just speak up on the bridge. Okay, seeing none, we'll then move to a review of the agenda. I think we have a couple of potential amendments to the agenda. The first one being, and I'm going to put a couple of folks on the spot here, but I think potentially in a good way. The first item that we probably should discuss is agenda item number 5, which is our response to the board on the policy matters contained within the GAC communique from Hyderabad. Just checking in with the group that was led by Paul and includes myself and some others that I think that we're probably not ready to discuss that item today, but we will potentially have something ready for the next meeting. Paul, is that correct? Go ahead.
Correct. Thanks. This is Paul McGrady for the record. Since I'm the maker of the motion, I would like to seek a deferral to it to the next meeting, and our little group should be ready well in advance of that to circulate a draft so that we can discuss it in the December 15th meeting. Thanks.
Perfect. Thanks, Paul. And we'll note that deferral for item number 5. The next item was item number 6, which was a discussion of the draft letter that was circulating on council. There was a placeholder motion here made by Darcy, who is not on the call and has given her proxy to McKelly. In the interim time between that first motion, there was some discussion with some groups who had raised some concerns about the approach in the letter. An amendment was worked out in the last 48 hours or so, and I think that we still have general agreement that it's probably not necessary to subject that to a vote, and in the interest of time, we can proceed. I just want to give everyone the opportunity to either silently approve of that course of action, or if they have any further objections or concerns, that we can go forward. Otherwise, I would ask McKelly if he has any interest in continuing this or removing the motion. I see Phil. Go ahead, Phil.
Thank you, James. Phil, for the record, I have no objection and support sending the letter without the necessity for a motion. I just want to note, though, that the problem addressed by the implementation of IRTPC by the letter is just one of many problems. I think at some point, I don't know how we learn from this experience, but there's considerable distress within the domain investment community, and I know within registrars that serve them, about the effectiveness, about how this came about, where an exercise that was supposed to improve domain security against theft and hijacking is now going to cause so much illiquidity in the domain marketplace that many professional investors are going to use registrar-furnished forms to opt out of the protections, which seems to defeat the whole exercise. So there seems to have been a gap between a policy recommendation that was viewed as effective and non-controversial in its actual implementation, and I would hope we could in some way review what happened with the point of avoiding that in the future. I don't know if there's any way to redress the effect on the marketplace, but the implementation of this particular iteration of IRTP has been problematic. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Phil, and I think your concerns are noted. I would point out that the new version of the letter really doesn't commit us to any particular course of action, except we're asking the board for more time to discuss potential paths forward, and I think what you've raised should certainly be fodder for that conversation as we hammer out the path forward on this one. So I would ask you to continue to raise those as we go forward. Heather, you're up next.
Thanks, James, very much. I just wanted to express the IPC's support for the approach that you have described, and the constituency was really happy with the constructive dialogue that was able to happen before the meeting that was able to pull this off of our working agenda for today. Not that it is problematic that it's on the working agenda or was on the working agenda, but great that we've come to a solution that that everyone can agree to. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Heather. I agree, and I think it was a good conversation, and we have a better result coming out of that. So thank you for that, and thanks to the folks at the IPC who participated in that conversation. McKelly, you're up next.
Thanks, James. McKelly for the record. Based on the conversations that were had both on the list and elsewhere, I'd like to withdraw the motion. as we're going to be able to send that letter without putting it to a vote.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Michele, for offering that withdrawal on Darcy's behalf. And before we completely close the door on this discussion, it looks like Amr would like to get in the queue. And I just want to point out again that this this doesn't end the conversation. I think the letter simply asks for a bit of forbearance and a little bit more time from the board in staff's implementation of this policy, so that we can hammer out what we want to do, including revisiting some of these implementation issues. Amr, and then Stephanie, and then we'll bring this one in for a landing. Amr?
Thanks, James. This is Amr. I just wanted to say that I think the second draft of the letter, the changes that were made were, will be rather helpful in terms of opening up possibilities for a way forward and not being restricted to recommending one course of action right now. But I do have a question, and this doesn't in any way affect my position on whether we should send this now or not. But it's just a question in terms of what we're actually saying in the letter, because in the first draft, it seemed clear to me that we were asking them to halt implementation on the compliance part of the policy. Are we still doing that? Do the amendments to the letter change what we are asking be done in terms of implementation, or are we simply just saying that we can go ahead and start implementing, but we're not going to, we would prefer that compliance is not enforced at this time? If this could be clarified, I'd be grateful. Thank you.
Thanks, Amr. My understanding is that the first letter specifically requested a pause in the implementation and a referral of the issue over to the implementation team for privacy proxy accreditation. It was that second part that raised some concerns throughout some of the different stakeholder groups, and so instead, we've simply asked for the pause while we consider further options, and that would be among the potential outcomes, but we have a couple of other avenues that we could explore as well. So, but we are still asking for this particular element of the implement of the policy to be placed on hold while we address those open questions. I hope that clarifies, because I think it was the specific bit about referring it to another IRT. Perhaps an IRT that wasn't adequately prepared to take on a new task that was causing concern. And so we haven't closed the door to that, but we also have opened a couple of other doors that probably also need to be looked at. So that's the plan. Okay, I see in the chat that that's good then. Okay, thank you, Amr. Good point there. And I think for those who didn't have a chance to track the amendments, I think it's good to at least highlight the differences. Stephanie, you're up next. Stephanie, if you're speaking, we cannot hear you. Or maybe it's just me.
Hi, James. Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear. Thank you very much.
I just got a dial out, and I do apologize for that hand. I put it up several minutes ago, and all of a sudden it popped up. I have the usual connectivity issues, and I didn't want to say anything. Thanks.
Okay, Stephanie. Thanks for that explanation, and we'll disregard your hand for now until you tell us in the chat that we need to pay attention to it again. Okay, so that kind of takes a couple of items off of our agenda. I think there's one other, which is we should also potentially have a discussion about item number 10, which is a discussion of this selection of representatives to the SSR review team. Let's leave that where it is for the time being, and we can have a discussion about our approach to that, although I can tell you that we're not not at a place where we can necessarily transition that to a motion where we can discuss candidates. And that, if there are no other comments or questions, that makes that ends the amendments to our agenda. Item 1.4, noting the minutes for the previous council meetings, I believe the last update from Glenn was that the draft minutes of part one of our council meeting in Hyderabad are ready to be reviewed by the council, and that'll be going out here shortly to the list. And I believe item part two, which was the part where the new councillors were seated, will also be posted here shortly. So we have a couple of minutes from one meeting, but minutes in two parts that will be circulated here in the next few days. So please keep an eye out for those. Okay, we can move then to item number two. I'm seeing in the chat is the echo. Is it me? Am I the one that's creating the echo? No, okay, no echo now, great. Okay, moving on then to item number two. We have a review of our projects list and our action items. If we could ask staff to bring up the projects list first, or whichever one you have handy, we'll just take a quick review of those and note any changes. Ooh, so small. My eyes are not able to do that anymore. Okay. Okay, thank you for loading that document. And as you can see, we have no issue. We have one issue in identification as the action item list. We have no issues in scoping or initiation, phase two or three. As far as working groups, those are the active working groups, including our PDPs and our GNSO participation in CCWGs. I don't note that there were any changes here. The GNSO review working group and the GNSO rights and obligations of the bylaws drafting team are both under council deliberations, and I believe they come up on our agenda today. We do have a couple of items up for a board vote, which is protection of IGO names and GTLDs and the GNSO review. GEO Regions review. And then we have a number of items also in the implementation phase, including, as we note, the inter-registrar transfer policy, IRTPC, which involves our letter that was just discussed a few moments ago. Marika, I don't know that there were any significant changes on this list from our discussion in Hyderabad, except perhaps that we may have moved something, I believe, from we probably added a working group on provisionally extended the working group on internet governance. And I don't see the adoption of the charter for the cross-community working group on auction proceeds, but that's probably because we haven't approved our slate of members yet. Marika, go ahead.
Actually, that one is there. It's the first one on the working group. So just to note, indeed, that was one that moved from initiation to working group, as Evan is now in the formation stage. And then the engagement from council consideration to implementation, and it was adopted by both the GNSO and the GAC. So those are the main movements when it comes to in the different stages of the life cycle.
Okay, thank you. And I see it now, and I'm sorry that one escaped me. Maybe for future lists, and I don't know if this is helpful for others, if we can clearly indicate in the first couple of sentences or first couple of letters, whether it's a PDP or a CCWG, that might that might make this a little bit easier to follow some of those as they move through. But thanks for that clarification. I also remember that we did adopt the recommendations from the GAC GNSO consultation group. So that is great. Any comments or questions for staff or myself on this project list from anyone? Or okay, great. And as I noted, there are a couple of other items that will show up on our agenda later. If we can then move to the action item list, and we'll wait for that to be loaded. I'm just following the chat as well, and it looks like we're also noting that there's some incorrect dates on the website for those action item lists. So, okay, just scrolling through and noting that items that are green have been completed, items that are blue will appear on our agenda for today's call, and items that are white are ongoing. ICANN 58 meeting planning, there's been a vigorous thread on the council list, so thank you to everyone who has contributed to those specific questions, and thank you to Emily for keeping a running score of all the contributions to date. I will report that there was a meeting earlier this morning in the U.S., with myself and all of the SO and AC folks, as well as, and I believe Donna and Heather were there as well, as along with the SGMC chairs. And I think that there was some good exchange of views on the topics of whether constituency day should be a single day and how we would allocate and identify high interest topics and what the right number of high interest topics will be. So the short story here, though, is that ICANN 58 meeting planning for Copenhagen is well underway, and we are, I think, endeavoring to not repeat some of the experiences from Hyderabad where things were very fluid there at the very last moment, and certainly encouraged to see the community and staff getting out in front of planning for ICANN 58. So that's well underway. I don't know if anyone wants to discuss the IGOI NGO PDP recommendations. As you can imagine, there were a number of conversations in Hyderabad, and those conversations are ongoing on potential paths forward in addressing both the existing PDPs, the proposal from the small group, and what to do relative to names associated with Red Cross. And all of those are ongoing, and I think we should see some movement on that between now and our next council meeting. Well, I would say between now and because our next council meeting is coming so quickly, it would be between now and the next month. The CWG on Internet Governance, nothing to report. PDP improvements, we have asked staff to go ahead and proceed with that. Conflicts with national law, I think we had some progress coming out of Hyderabad to report on that as well. There's a small group of folks working on a revised motion that we hope to circulate soon, if not for the next meeting. I think that that will address some of the concerns and some of the, I want to say, divergent opinions that were expressed the last time this came up for a vote. We filled all of our liaisons, so thank you for everyone who has volunteered to be a liaison to the implementation review teams and, in fact, ongoing PDPs as well. We have adopted the auction proceeds. And I think we're now in the position where we are soliciting volunteers. Marika, did you note that there were some questions on the list about, I thought I saw some questions back and forth on the selection of volunteers for the auction proceeds working group. In this particular case, we've adopted the charter, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that we are looking for each stakeholder group to put forward a volunteer member, but the CCWG would, of course, be open to participants as well for anyone who'd like to join. And then the remaining task for council is to select the GNSO co-chair from that slate of volunteers. Is that correct, Marika? Am I missing a step? Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. So each chartering organization has the option to appoint between minimum of two and maximum of five chartering organizations appoint members. As I shared on the mailing list, those appointed members have a specific role. I mean, everyone participates at an equal level, you know, members and participants, but appointed members have also the responsibility to kind of take back and forth, you know, what is going on to the chartering organizations and vice versa. And in the case of consensus calls, you know, they're expected to express the views as, you know, expressed within their respective groups. So, indeed, in this case, you know, I think, as in the motion, the practice has been followed as been used for previous CCWGs, where basically each stakeholder group is asked to identify one member, but that indeed leaves potentially one slot to be filled. And as I noted in the response to Donna, it's really up to the council to decide how you would like to do that. For example, for the transition of the ones, I believe the fifth slot was basically filled by the GNSO chair to the CCWG. While there's actually no obligation for the chair to be a member, so potentially you do have another slot that you could either assign to one of the stakeholder groups. I know as well that one of the nominating committee appointees has expressed interest, so it's really up to you to decide how you would want to fill, if you want to fill that fifth slot at all, because there's no obligation either to appoint five members if you would only want to appoint four, for example.
Okay, thank you, Marika, for that recommendation. I think the takeaway from councillors is that we are still awaiting that list of names from each stakeholder group. We are looking for, I believe the deadline for that was Monday, the 5th of March. Yes, and correct, Ruben. Thank you, if the NCA's non-com appointees would like to volunteer, they can do so as well. And then it will be the role of council to select their GNSO co-chair from that group. And just to reiterate, make sure that anyone who is interested in stepping forward for this fully understands the proposed conflicts of interest. We certainly wouldn't want that to be a point of confusion for anyone who's participating in this particular cross-community working group, and yet later on perhaps has a proposal idea for a use of auction proceeds. I would just recommend just a refresher on that for any volunteers. Thanks. Okay. As we note here, we have improvement of approval of appointment to of an interim GNSO representative powered community. We are still living with our interim appointment, which is myself, and I can report that there's been no action on this front. So the interim solution is still in place. We are now looking at the review of the GAC communique, which is, as we indicated, will be forthcoming for our next meeting. The SSR review team is on our agenda a little bit later today. We've filled the GNSO liaison to the GAC in Hyderabad. Thank you, Carlos. And we have since sent formal notification of Carlos's appointment to the GAC secretariat. And for that, we say thank you to Glenn and staff. We have a motion on the agenda to discuss the recommendations from the GNSO bylaws drafting team. That's coming up later. We have the letter from the board on the IRD expert working group. This came up in Hyderabad. This is that question from the board that was referred back to the PDP that addressed this issue. We had a response from Jim Galvin, which seemed to answer in the affirmative. And I think that we now have a draft response coming from us that would essentially relay the response coming from that group back to the board in response to their original letter. I don't know that we need a motion to conduct this exchange of correspondence, so I will work with Marika and Donna and Heather to get a draft of that response, including the message from Jim Galvin. We'll get that synthesized into a response to the board, and we'll get that circulated to the council list here in the next few days, and we'll get that hopefully posted to the board by our next meeting. But just wanted to give you an update on that particular action item, which I believe is currently buried somewhere in my inbox, but is on our plate. And then we have a discussion about the limitation, the proposed limitation for the RDS, who is review team two. Any other comments or questions? We tore through that fairly quickly. So any other comments or questions on the action items list? Okay. Seeing that the queue is clear, we can close off agenda item number two and return to our main agenda with agenda item number three is our consent agenda. There are no items up for consideration on our consent agenda, so we can check that box. And move then to agenda item number four, which is our first item and issue a topic of any substance, which is the consensus recommendations from the GNSO bylaws drafting team. Now, this is something that we worked on fairly extensively in Hyderabad, and we had numerous discussions both in our public meeting as well as in our working session. And as a result of things kind of happening on the ground, I believe it was Ed Morris who had asked for a deferral so that NCSG and, in fact, really everybody could take this back to their constituency for further discussion and evaluation. And so that has been granted, and the deferral was moved until this meeting, and we're discussing it now. I made the motion. I believe Ruben seconded the motion, and I can present that now, but I think that there has since been an amendment to the motion. So here's what I'd like to propose. I'd like to read through the motion as it exists today, and we'll catch the red lines that have been offered by Amr, and we'll discuss those, the motion and the amendments, and see if they are indeed just, I think, as I expect, fairly cosmetic changes. So I'll go through here the motions. The first part, I'll just read through the whereas. On 30th of June 2016, GNSO Council approved creation of a drafting team that was to work with ICANN staff to fully identify all the new or additional rights and responsibilities that the GNSO has under the revised bylaws, including but not limited to participation of the GNSO within the empowered community, and to develop new or modified structures and procedures as necessary to fully implement these new or additional rights and responsibilities. Two, in creating the drafting team, the GNSO Council requested that the drafting team provide the GNSO Council with an implementation plan, which will have the consensus of the drafting team, including any recommendations for needed further changes to ICANN bylaws and or GNSO operating procedures to enable effective GNSO participation in ICANN activities under the revised bylaws not later than 30 September 2016. Three, during the course of the drafting team's work, differing views were expressed on the role of the GNSO Council in the empowered community, leading to the production of a final report, which included a minority report on the role of the GNSO Council. And I will note here that the original language said strongly divergent views as opposed to differing views. I believe, and I'll tap Amr here in a moment, but I believe the concern here is that the word divergent is used in the GNSO operating procedures as a term to characterize level of consensus. So it's not, to avoid confusion, I think we were looking for some synonyms here to get the point across with some different language. And then I believe on the role of the GNSO Council was perhaps an addition. Whereas four, the drafting team submitted its final report to the GNSO Council on the 12th of October, and the GNSO Council has reviewed this report. Then moving into the resolved clause, I'm sorry, Amr, did I do justice to put you on the spot here because staff indicated earlier that they were not able to put both versions up at the same time? So I just, before I move on, can I capture, did I accurately convey the sentiments behind your proposed amendments in whereas three?
Hi, James, this is Amr. You said it pretty well. The change in whereas three, specifically strongly divergent change to differing views, was because of the consensus, the level designation given to working groups in the GNSO working group guidelines. And divergent, I guess, diverging views is a sort of technical term in those guidelines, which presents a sort of a specific consensus level, which was not the one here. So I thought it a good idea to change that word just to avoid any confusion and for anyone reading the motion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Amr. I'll continue then with the resolved clauses. And if I start to go off the rails, please feel free to jump in because I am including or incorporating your amended language in as I go. Resolved one, GNSO Council accepts the recommendations of the drafting team's final report as submitted. Resolved two, the GNSO Council directs ICANN policy staff to draft proposed language for any necessary modifications or additions to the GNSO operating procedures. And if applicable, those parts of the ICANN bylaws pertaining to the GNSO The GNSO Council requests that the ICANN Legal evaluate whether the proposed modifications are consistent with post-transition bylaws and report their findings to the GNSO Council. Resolve 3, the GNSO Council requests that members of the drafting team make themselves available for consultation by ICANN policy staff as needed. Resolve 4, the GNSO Council directs ICANN policy staff to post the drafting team final report, including the minority report and all proposed modifications or new procedures for public comment for no less than 40 days. The GNSO Council expects that any comments received will be given meaningful consideration. Resolve 5, as resolved previously, the GNSO Council intends to subject the adoption of the proposed modifications and to the existing procedures and or ICANN bylaws to a GNSO supermajority vote. And item 6, the GNSO Council thanks the drafting team for its collaborative effort, especially in review of the limited time frame available. In here, I would note that small R report was modified by Amr to final report with capitals, and that we again struck the reference to divergent views, noting the concerns about using the word divergent, which could create confusion, being used as a label to designate consensus level within the within the working group guidelines. So that is the motion as it stands. It was proposed by me, seconded by Rubens. I am inclined to take Amr's amendments here as friendly. I understand the intent behind striking divergent, and I agree with his intention to clarify and avoid any confusion there. So I guess the first order of business is we would ask if Rubens accepts this as a friendly amendment, and I see in the chat that he does, and so in that case we can open the queue for discussion of this revised motion. And I would note that this I believe it's correct that this motion is also one that we had committed to subject to a supermajority vote of council, and I'm sure that, I don't know if Marika can give me a green light if that's a correct, or if I'm remembering that correct. Yeah, okay, thanks, Ed. Okay, first in the queue is Heather. Heather, go ahead, please.
Thanks, James, very much. I wanted to follow up on some of the references that you made to the amended language specifically around divergent and so on and so forth, and you and I had worked in Hyderabad to try and come up with some text that would be agreeable to all, and just to clarify for the record that there was no hidden agenda or anything in choosing the word divergent, so I wasn't particularly troubled to see that. To see that change. It expresses the sentiment and avoids the concerns that are raised by Amr. So thank you.
Thanks, Heather. And I think, I don't know, my memory serves, I think I was the one that came up with the word divergent, and probably because I'm not that bright and I heard it used somewhere else, probably in a working group, and just borrowed it there. So I concur with you that there was no intent to borrow a term from one context and apply it here. It was simply just searching for the right word, and I think Amr has yes, Paul, we were all thinking of the movie. Thanks. but that's helpful context, and I think Amr's amendments address that confusion very nicely with some synonyms there. I see an empty queue, and given our history with this motion, that astonishes me. Would anyone else like to offer any comments or statements relative to this motion? Hi, Susan, go ahead, please.
Thank you, James. I just wanted to thank you for bringing us home on this motion and adjusting the wording accordingly. This is definitely a different motion than the original one we saw, and we really appreciate that you took input from all of the stakeholder groups and made sure that that was recognized in the motion. So thank you for that hard work.
Thanks, Susan. And I'm sure that it was a group effort, and the cocktails and wine that was served in our working session probably helped grease the skids as well. but yes, I'm also pleased at how well this came together in the end. So, and I think we noted here in Resolve 6, I think the real heroes of this effort were the folks who participated on the drafting team, because that was a lot of work to do in a very short period of time. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay, then we can proceed to a vote. And just as a reminder that we have asked that this be subjected to a supermajority vote. So I guess I would ask, we're gonna have to give staff a little bit more latitude this time, because I think Glenn usually handles the votes, and I think it's going to be a collaborative effort now between Natalie and Barry. But because this is a supermajority vote, if there are no concerns, I'd like to proceed with a roll call vote, just so we can make sure that we hit that kind of unusual definition and threshold that we have for supermajorities. And I don't know that I have a running scorecard here in front of me, so I think it would be much easier from a staff perspective if we just go ahead and go through a roll call vote. So, Natalie, if you don't mind, could you begin the roll call vote, please?
Thank you very much, James. Will Polish-Knobin? Wolf Ulrich, we cannot hear you.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Anthony Harris.
Yes.
Michaeli Nalin for Darcy Sudwell.
Yes.
Michaeli Nalin for yourself.
Yes.
Paul McGrady.
Yes.
Stefania Milan.
Yes. Yes.
Ed Morris. Thank you, Stefania. Ed Morris.
Yes.
Susan Kawaguchi.
Yes.
Rafik Damak.
Yes.
Amir Al-Fadir.
Yes.
Phil Corwin.
Aye.
Donna Austin.
Yes.
Stephanie Puren.
Yes.
Marilia Maciel.
Yes.
Valerie Tan.
Yes.
James Liddell.
Yes.
Keith Drazik.
Yes.
Heather Forrest.
Yes.
Johan Helsingius.
Yes.
And Ruben Skuhl.
Yes.
Thank you very much. So with, for the contracted party house, 7 votes in favor. For the non-contracted party house, 13 votes in favor. That gives a 100% pass rate for both houses, and the motion passes.
Thank you, Natalie. Nicely done. And thank you, everyone, for your support on this. I guess unanimity certainly crosses the supermajority threshold, so that's a testament to all of our work on this. And I would ask staff to please communicate the results of this to the co-chairs of the drafting team. And then also, as we move this then through the process, I think that we should also do a comparison of the interim participation in the empowered community and make sure that we have an appropriate timeline within that to get a permanent designee installed, because it certainly would be one less thing on my plate, even though we're not currently doing anything in that context. So thank you everyone for that, and we will work through this with staff. The next item on our agenda is item number 5, which has been deferred, and we'll look for that to come up in our next meeting. And then item number 6, as we noted, was the letter, which has been withdrawn. So thank you to everyone who worked on that. We then move to item number 7, which is our vote on the adoption of the implementation plan for recommendations relating to the 2014 GNSO review. And just as a reminder, the implementation or the team that was drafting this implementation plan was tasked by the board to provide them something by the end of the year. So once the council has approved that, we can transmit this to the board. And I certainly think that we owe a debt of gratitude to the folks who were able to turn this around so quickly. So if you don't mind, I'd like to ask Wolf Ulrich to introduce his motion. And I don't know, are we awaiting a seconder as well, or do we have one? Okay, right. Before we get to the motion, just a refresher on the GNSO review implementation plan, and I think Wolf Ulrich is going to present on the highlights and make himself available for any questions. So with that, I'll turn it over to Wolf Ulrich. Thank you.
Thanks, James, for always speaking. I would put it that way. So we just to introduce a little bit the motion and what is it about, and then let's talk about the process itself. So how to deal with that motion. That's what I suggest to do. So just briefly giving you some 3 or 4 slides to remind you what we have done and what was the mandate. Well, the mandate for this group was to come up with an implementation plan with some specific points. We should come up with a realistic timeline for the implementation of these recommendations. We should come up with a definition of desired outcomes, and also try to find measure or to find a way how to measure the current state and the progress to be done and going forward towards the desired outcome for these recommendations. So that is more or less the target. And we had several meetings. I came up with an update during the Hyderabad meeting, and in between we had two further meetings, one in Hyderabad and one in between here, a telephone call where we could finish what we had in mind. Well, next slide, please, Julie. That's not the next one, please. I had a shorter version of that. You can skip that. Please go to the next one. We had structures, our recommendations, in terms of prioritization and dependencies between the recommendations themselves, and also with dependencies on other activities going on within the GNSO. And then we came up in our plan also with a kind of suggestion of of a methodology, how to deal with that plan, how to put that plan in place, and how to deal with the recommendations, and in the end, with a first draft of a timeline. The timeline was, well, not easy to develop in terms of estimating, well, the amount of time we would need for every recommendation, well, to deal with that. We did our best, well, to try to put that together, and we batched it here in three batches. The first batch is related to recommendations where work is already underway, so which came which was ongoing work and which was put into the recommendations as well. And that is the batch we are planning well to start with at first. And then we have a batch with higher priority recommendations in that, which is will need roughly our estimation 1 year to deal with that. And we have another batch then with the rest of the recommendations, which are not of high priority. In the end, so we came up with a plan which may lead us until the end of 2018, which is reasonable, I would say, and which would lead us directly so into 2019, where the next review cycle is planned according to the ADRT recommendations. Next slide, please. This is a breakup of the timeline of the three batches with regards to the different motions, different recommendations. You can see on the left-hand side the recommendations itself. We had an estimation how long we would need to deal with that, depending on the dependencies, depending on the amount of work and of man work to be done, and that was our estimation with regards to these recommendations, and that is the outcome of it, recommendation by recommendation. It is in the plan itself explained in detail who shall be responsible for the implementation. It could be staff, it could be the working group itself, it could be the working group and staff together, depending on what type of recommendation it is. For example, if it's a recommendation which deals with stakeholder group or constituency related items, so that it's clear that is up to the working group together with those constituencies and recommend and stakeholder groups to oversee and to implement those items. Whereas in other cases, well, it could be done by staff or together. Next slide, please. Okay, this is for phase three, for the non-priority recommendations. Same as we have been trying well to find out to estimate the time we need. We made also had a discussion about potential budget impacts on that, but came to the conclusion at this time being it is just possible to allocate the possibility that there may be budget impacts, to allocate that to several recommendations, but not to detail the budget at this time. So we suppose that during the work we are going to do recommendation by recommendation, so the budget estimation can be done, and we can, if there is a lot of budgets needed, if there would be. So, for example, so we can come up with that in time in order to be to fit into the budget plan. So that is at the time being. So that is the status, and that is the status of the implementation plan. We think it is solid. It is we did our the best guess with regards to the timing, and the next steps would be after the board has approved that implementation plan that we immediately start with this work, and we have to plan to start and to think about whether we could do something in and how we could do the recommendations in parallel. For example, you see there is a lot of work to be done in parallel. Shall we do it in subgroups, for example? How shall we establish these subgroups and all these things? Well, we should organize our work then directly. And so we are confident that we are that we can fit to that plan. So that's to the content and where we are at the time being. We should then discuss, I think, so the process with regards to the motion. I have learned in the preparation phase of this that there may be some request from some side, well, to have some time, well, to dive in a little bit more deeper before mid of December, our next council meeting. And I have heard as well that there may be a plan of staff, well, to come up with a webinar in order to provide more detailed information to those who are interested, and then we should. I would like to hear from staff as well whether this is feasible, what the plan is here, and if that could fit to a let me say a vote on this motion by December 15. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich, for working through that slide deck and giving us the highlights of this, as I think everyone can see, a very complex plan that stretches well over the horizon into 2017 and beyond. To your last point there, I would note that that is correct, that given the scale and scope of this material, we anticipated the possibility that not everyone has had enough time to review it and or might have questions. We're fortunate to have you on the call. I note that Jen Wolf also wanted to be here, but her schedule didn't allow it. And so one of the backup plans that we have been discussing is the potential for a webinar to discuss this information for counselors or in fact, anyone from the GNSO community that would like to participate. So I guess I would put the question to counselors. I don't know if anyone feels that they're in a position where they can actually prepare to vote at this time. If so, great. You're further along in your homework than perhaps the average student at this stage in the game. But I would also be interested in hearing from folks who would like to perhaps take a little bit more time. And then in that latter case, if folks are requesting a bit more time, if they are open to the idea of a webinar that would give us an opportunity for a little bit more Q&A with the group on the subject of this implementation plan. I have noting some folks in the chat, and I have Paul. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks, James. Paul McCready. Yes, I would be very happy for a webinar to help me understand what we're voting on and a little more time for those within our constituency who participated in this to read through everything and you know, brief us on where we are. And so I'm very glad to hear that we are aiming for the 15th for a vote. And if staff is willing to do a webinar, that would be very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. And I note that Heather and Stefania are also in favor of taking a little bit more time and weighing in favor of the webinar as well, and as well as Keith is plus wanting that. And to that end, I think we should probably, as counselors, we should count our good fortune and thank the folks who worked on this, including Wolf Ulrich and Jen Wolf and all the others for giving us that extra time. I mean, certainly they could have delivered this report a week from now, and then we would kind of be up against a wall. But they've given us some cushion that gives us the luxury of studying this a little bit further and conducting that webinar. So I see Wolf Ulrich is in the queue. Wolf Ulrich, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, James, for who is speaking. Well, just a question, well, because time is running, so we have just 2 weeks to the next council meeting. The motion deadline is the 5th of December, so I will immediately, if it's just deferred, so it's automatically coming back next time. Question is, do we have a time already fixed for that webinar?
Yes, Wolf Ulrich, I think that we are tentatively working out the dates on that one, and I see Julie has her hand raised. So, Julie, maybe you can fill us in. Thanks.
Hi, yes. Thank you very much. This is Julie Hedlund. In anticipation of this request, I hope it's not a problem, but I did get in touch, staff did get in touch with Jen Wolf to check on her availability. And the idea is to try to have a webinar as soon as possible, but to give enough time for folks to get it on their schedules as well. It looked like the best time that worked for her to do it is next week, Thursday, the 8th of December at 1400 UTC. So you should see an invite going out to all counselors shortly on that. And then also I will note that if there are others other than council members who you know of in your community who might be interested in joining the webinar, you're welcome to pass on that invite as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. And so that's the date, 1 week from today at 1400 UTC. And watch for the invitations there, and please circulate them within your stakeholder groups and constituencies. And as Marika is noting, if you're not able to attend, that the meeting, the webinar would be recorded and transcribed, so we can share those materials as well. But I think that is that still leaves us sufficient time, because as I would note that the board. The original board request gave us 6 months, or roughly to the end of the year, to approve and submit this implementation plan. And I think that, as many have noted, giving a little bit more time to thoroughly consider these issues and an opportunity to raise questions is probably welcome at this point. I guess all we need at this stage is for someone to formally request a deferral, and it sounds like that's the general consensus of the group today. And Paul's the first one up, so Paul, you get the headline on this one. Thank you, Paul. So we'll go ahead and defer this until consideration for the meeting that's scheduled for the 15th of December. In which case it will probably be, that will be the last opportunity we'll have to consider this and still be within the deadline that was extended to us by the board. So it will definitely be up for a vote on the agenda next time around. And in the interim time, we will have that webinar next Thursday, so please watch for invites on that. And thank you again to Wolf Ulrich and now Rafiq, who has seconded the motion for taking a leadership role on this piece of business. Okay, if there are no further items there, I just note that we're slightly past our halfway point, and we are moving then to item number 8 on our agenda, which is a discussion of the proposed scope of the upcoming RDS. or who is review. I can kick this off with a little bit of context as well as a mea culpa. This document was submitted to a list of folks that weighed in on it right as I was getting on a plane to go to India, and it came up in Hyderabad before I had an opportunity to circulate it to the council, and it caught a few people off guard. So please accept my my apologies for that and for the confusion that that created. I apologize if anyone felt like they were blindsided by this because, you know, that was on me. But going forward, I can tell you a little bit of context is that there was some discussion when we looked at the calendar of upcoming review teams, and this started, I think, in the CCWG on accountability and also included some discussions amongst some of the leaders of the stakeholder groups and constituencies and SOs and ACs, that that a lot of the upcoming reviews scheduled for early 2017 were on a had the potential to overlap with existing work. For example, the fact that ATRT3 was going to launch in conjunction with the completion of Workstream 2, or the fact that this WHO is review or RDS review was going to launch in parallel with the ongoing PDP on the next generation RDS. And I think the concern, as expressed by myself and many others, was that we would be duplicating some of the work, covering some of the same ground in terms of material, and also potentially borrowing from the same pool of volunteers that might be forced to choose which of the different work streams they would like to participate in or which would be more effective. And I think in light of that, there was some discussion about moving the calendar for these reviews. I think there was some concerns about that approach. And then what was presented back by ICANN staff was the idea that we would instead limit the scope of the upcoming reviews so that they wouldn't collide with ongoing work that was in the PDP or other cross-community working groups. And so that's kind of how this document was born in an effort to keep those two trains on separate tracks. I note that in our meeting in India, and I hate to put you on the spot, but I note that Susan, in our meeting, and I think since then on the list, has noted that she had some questions or concerns about this approach. But otherwise, staff, and the review team staff in particular, is looking for our feedback on whether or not we think this proposal to limit the scope of the RDS is acceptable, or whether we would have any questions. So I don't know if folks have had an opportunity to thoroughly digest this and circulate it amongst their stakeholder groups and constituencies, but I'd like to table this proposal and this issue for discussion. We have a little bit of time here to mull this over and identify what our next steps will be. And first in the queue is Susan. Go ahead, Susan.
Thanks, James. So I did have some discussions with staff about this. And, you know, I'm probably fine with the language as long as it's interpreted in the way I interpret it. So one of my concerns was I think the WHO is review team could comment on the PPSAI. They could look at cross-validation, compliance actions, and transparent data stats relating to WHO is. So as long and, you know, in a discussion with staff, they felt like those would all be included as open topics, partly because some of those came out of the WHO is review team, the first WHO is review team. So as long as there's a little wiggle room, if people are not reading the language as, you know, absolutely it was not in the WHO is review team report, so therefore we're not, you know, those words were not there, we're not looking at it, then if there's some flexibility, I'm fine with moving forward with this language, but if people view that language as very, very strict, then I guess I am not comfortable.
Okay, thank you, Susan. And just one thought off the cuff would be if you would be willing to take a stab at some altered language that would enumerate those ideas, or at least, you know, I wouldn't want to assume anything, I guess, is my immediate response.
Yeah.
Is that we should, if we want to see something in there, that we should probably find a place to add it so that it's clear. And then if there are some, like, just off the cuff personally, there, I might feel like there are some things that you mentioned that should be in there and some things that might be open for more discussion, and you know, we should hash those out either within
right.
the council or submit them back to the review team. But I would you be willing to take a shot at capturing those in an amendment or in some sort of a comment that we could send back to staff?
Yes, I could definitely do that.
Awesome, perfect. Thank you. Thank you for volunteering to do that. I think that's an excellent point. Next in the queue is Keith.
Okay, thanks, James. Keith Drazik for the transcript. I'd like to support most of what Susan just said. I think a extremely narrow interpretation would be probably unwise at this point. As much as I agree, we want to try to streamline efforts, not duplicate work, not have too much overlap, and generally try to be as efficient as possible. I think we need to be careful about a too narrow limitation of the scope. You know, if you go to the ICANN bylaws related to this review team, it is in fact more than simply an assessment of the implementation of past recommendations. There's more work that is actually included as required by the bylaws in the in the RDS review team scope. So I think we do need to be careful there. I'd be happy to volunteer with Susan and anybody else that's interested to try to come up with some amended language. But I think that just a second thought, you know, there are so many different work streams and efforts going on in the WHOIS or RDS space right now. We all know this, that's been going on for years, but it's only getting worse. And it seems to me that this review team could actually be a possible facilitator or a coordinating group to help try to bring some, you know, sanity or some at least more clear understanding of the various work streams, where the overlaps are, and to try to use this opportunity to, you know, to, like I said, bring some sanity to the process. Just a thought. Certainly interested in what others have to say.
Thanks, Keith. And I think that's an excellent proposal. I think, you know, speaking as a employee of a company that has to go off and write code to a lot of the changing, you know, rules and regulations around WHOIS, I think we would also welcome sort of an overarching perspective or strategy that synthesizes all the different work streams that are currently underway and that are possibly planned. And I think that would be a good use of this. And I just would note, thank you again for volunteering. I have Keith and Susan volunteering to take a swing at capturing the comments here. Next up is Carlos. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, James. For the last 2 years, I didn't have a vote, so I don't even know if I have a voice, but I want to comment as an alumni of previous review teams and member of one ongoing review team. Two short comments. I mean, I think we should not preempt the chartering exercise that each review team does at the beginning of the review. So I don't know how would you transfer whatever the council decides to the actual review team. And the second comment in the line that Keith just mentioned during Hyderabad, Larisa Gurnik had a very interesting session on getting feedback of previous review teams or future review teams. I was invited, but I couldn't make it. But staff is seriously thinking in terms of helping and facilitating these processes according to the new bylaws. So, of course, as Keith said, we have a new ground, but in any case, I would recommend to go back and try to find the commentaries or resolutions or recommendations of Larisa Gurnik's meeting in Hyderabad on this matter. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carlos, and good idea as far as consulting with previous review teams, and I say that with a couple of us being on alumni from the previous Who Is review team, even on this call. So we'll try to capture that in the feedback as well. So good interventions. Thank you. Amr, you're up next.
Thanks, James. This is Amr. I just wanted to say that personally, I think the suggested scope seems fine, and what I've been hearing from Susan and Keith also sounds quite sensible. I do have maybe just one bullet here that I would like to flag, and it's the first sub-bullet, which is sort of recommending what the composition of the upcoming review team may be. And what I'm seeing here is that it looks like it's suggesting that it be rather limited to folks who may have been on the previous one. And although it would be fantastic to have as many of those as we can on the upcoming review team, I think it may be helpful to the review team to also not limit membership to previous review team members. As Keith has pointed out, there's been a ton of work on Who Is done between the last review and the upcoming one, and having some fresh new members who've been participating in those policies, it may also be helpful to consider including them. Thank you.
Thanks, Amr. That's a good point. And if there are no objections, and maybe would just note that for Susan and Keith to capture in our potential comments that we would add to this. The queue is clear. So I think we've got some good thoughts here. I would ask, first off, thanks to Susan and Keith for volunteering to come up with a draft of a comment on this. I guess my first request would be, what would be a realistic time frame for that to be done? I don't know if it's too soon to ask by the end of day on Monday, because that's the motion cutoff, and this could be considered then in our next meeting. I guess I'm looking to Marika now. I don't know that it's necessary for council to vote on this. I think they are at this stage in the game, staff is simply asking for feedback, and so I think if we capture feedback, even if it is not necessarily in line with this original proposal, that we can simply get that relayed back in our response to staff. I think that that would be a good extension, that would be a good approach. I would note that we're kind of they are asking us to get back to them as soon as possible. So if there's any possibility that we could get this turned around relatively quickly. Can you give me an idea of a time frame, Susan, Keith? Hate to put you on the spot.
I don't know, Keith. I don't think it's going to take a lot to revise this. You know, I think we could add some language and just a little more detail. But what do you think, Keith?
Thanks, Susan. This is Keith. Yeah, I agree. I think we ought to be able to come up with some new language fairly quickly. And so I don't know if Monday is doable, but I think is Monday a deadline? Is that what I've heard, or is it not a deadline? I think we can certainly get something next week.
Yeah, thanks, Keith, and thanks, Susan. If you can target it at all for the end of day, Susan's got the most agreeable time zone, so if we can target it for closing of the day on Monday, then we'll relay that back to the team that they can expect a response early next week. You know, that'll give us a time to post it to the council list and everyone have an opportunity to weigh in for a day or so. But if you can target as soon as possible with a goal of early next week, then we'll get that circulated. And then we'll reach back out to to the staff folks and just say that we just need a little bit more time to make our modifications to this. Okay.
Keith, I'll send you something tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And
thanks, Susan. I'll turn something around by the end of the day.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
That is fantastic. Thanks, guys. Okay. Any other thoughts on item number 9? I'm sorry, item number 8. Okay. Then moving on to item number 9, another request for feedback. We had requests from the co-chairs of the CCWG Accountability Work Stream 2 to submit, I don't know if I call it a survey or to answer some specific questions on how the GNSO, and I think that means council and also stakeholder groups and constituencies, how we are internally accountable. And so we put together a draft of this potential response here. And by we, I think, staff took first stab at it, and Heather and Donna and I have been tweaking it a little bit over the last couple of days. I believe that a similar, if not identical, request was also shared with the leadership of all the stakeholder groups and constituencies. So this is not in any way a council intercepting this request. It is it has been shared throughout the GNSO ecosystem. But what we'd like to do is take a look at what we have put together, what staff has put together, and see if we feel that we are getting close to something that we can turn around and send. I just lost connectivity. I don't know if it's me or if it's everyone, but I lost the Adobe room. Is it just me?
It's just you.
Okay. Maybe I could ask Marika or I know Heather was getting on a plane. Maybe Donna could potentially tee this up while I try to reconnect to the Adobe room. I apologize for that, folks. My screen just went blank.
James, it's Heather. I'm just going to interrupt quickly. If Donna or Marika is willing to go over this one, after it's gone over, I would like to make a few comments on it. So if you can put me in the queue for when we're ready for the queue. Thanks.
Noted, Heather. We'll hold the queue for you as soon as I can get into the queue. but I don't know, Marika or Donna, if you're in a position where you can actually see the document and can tee it up for us while I try to reconnect, that'd be great. Thanks.
Thanks, James. And Heather, it's Donna. I guess, Marika, I don't want to put you on the spot, but Marika was responsible for the primary responses to the questions. And I think Heather and James and I, as James said, we just tweaked rather than made substantive comments. So, Marika, would you mind running through the responses?
Sure. So this is Marika. So basically, this is a request from the CCWG Accountability Working Group, a survey, I think, that has gone out to all the different SOs and ACs requesting further information in relation to accountability and transparency measures that are in place to facilitate participation in relation to outreach and other aspects of the work of the different groups. So basically what we try to do in this survey is to provide a response from the council's perspective, and that mainly refers to how we conduct our meetings, what requirements exist under the GNSO operating procedures and bylaws, and provide relevant references. And as we pointed out as well, and I think as you all know, the council is, of course, only one part of the GNSO spectrum. So I presume that the CCWG Accountability will look forward to hearing as well input from the different stakeholder groups and constituencies on how these different aspects of your of accountability and transparency are covered in your respective meetings and dealings. So what you see here, again, it's relatively short. You see in red line the proposed responses. this is really intended as a draft, or if anyone believes there's anything missing from here, any further information that should be added to it. So this is open for anyone to comment on. And as said, you know, probably a lot of the information that the group is probably looking for may come from responses that are being prepared by your respective groups. And I actually know that, that Cheryl has her hand up as well. I believe she's actually active in this group, so she may be able to provide further context or tell us what is missing from what we've provided so far.
I'm back in the room, and I have my hand raised to hold Heather's spot in the queue. So I don't know if, Cheryl, if you want to continue with setting the stage before we ring Heather, or Heather may be in the process of boarding an airplane. So if you don't mind, can we get her question or comment on the record before we lose her?
Let's hear from Heather before we lose her.
Yeah, okay.
That's all right. Thank you very much. This is Heather. No, not to worry. I've got a I've got a break of time here, so I'm more than happy for Cheryl to go first with the context, and then I'll pop in after. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. Just a bunch of Australians being nice to each other. It doesn't happen often, people. You should make a record note of that one. And yes, I am active in this group. I'm one of the three co-rapporteurs, so I feel very responsible for getting this set of questions out to the GNSO and its constituent parts. Notice that terminology, the GNSO and its constituent parts, because, in fact, our mandate was to send it to the ACs and the SOs, in other words, the advisory committees and the support organisations. We are delighted to hear, and I am channeling my other two co-rapporteurs here, we're delighted to see that as of now, all of the SOs and the ACs are well progressed in their responses, including the GAC, to our few questions, and we are delighted to get whatever we can back from the Council, supplemented with, of course, whatever you can collect and collate back from the constituencies as well. Can't tell you that there's any more or any less because it's your self-review. So there's no requirements as far as we're concerned other than a self-review and getting it back to us in a timely manner. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl. Glad to have you on this call and weighing in. So Heather, you're up next.
Thanks, James, very much. It's Heather. And as Cheryl will perhaps know and appreciate, it takes approximately 2 minutes to get through Hobart Airport, so hence I have a bit of time to spare. I wanted to make to follow up on James's introductory remarks, which is to say that James, Donna, and I did have a chance to tinker with the draft that was initially prepared by staff, and simply to specify that my comments were mostly form rather than substance. The only response on which I have a substantive bit of input is on question number one. I think as it's currently drafted, the response goes beyond simply identifying who is involved, who can participate through the GNSO, and goes into how the GNSO is structured and how we conduct our business in the council and so on and so forth. In my mind, that response goes further than it needs to. I understand it quotes the bylaws, but I think maybe we haven't given as targeted a response as we could do. And I would also like to express support for later questions where we describe the PDP and how the work of the GNSO was undertaken. In other words, how that bylaws mandate of developing policy for GTLDs is carried out. And I think herein lies another opportunity for us. We've been trying to seize these wherever they arise, to invite the community, to make it very, very clear, very explicit, invite the community to participate in GNSO PDPs. There is a need to fight this, if you like, perception that GNSO PDPs are only for the GNSO, and this seems to me a good opportunity to do that. So those are my two substantive points. James, thank you very much.
Thanks, Heather, and I'm glad that we were able to get you into the get your points captured before we lose you to the airlines. So I think just to summarize, Heather's first comment is that the response to question number one is perhaps a little too verbose and could even, even though it is lifted directly from the bylaws, we could perhaps shorten that to the key elements. And then the second part is noting that the GNSO PDPs are open to all interested participants, come one, come all. And also, I don't know if I heard you say this, Heather, or if it's just something that popped into my head while you were speaking, but also if there's anything to note the distinctions between the GNSO PDP and the cross-community working group, or maybe I'm introducing more overkill as well. But those were Heather's comments. I see Marika has her hand up. Marika?
Yeah, this is Rick. I just wanted to clarify that on the first question, one of the reasons that the draft includes a kind of copy-paste from the bylaws is that in the section description is actually referring to as defined in the bylaws, and it quotes a sentence that's even between quotation marks, which seems to apply from the bylaws, but at least I haven't been able to find it. So that's why my initial reaction was just to put what is there in the bylaws. But again, you know, this is, of course, open to rewording, so I think it's just important to make clear whatever we write there, it's clear whether it's a direct quote or whether it's a summary version or an interpretation thereof, so it's at least clear what is being provided.
Okay, thank you, Marika, and I think we certainly welcome your you're doing the heavy lifting at coming up with the first attempt at addressing some of these questions. But to Heather's point, and I think to those who are perhaps seeing this for the first time, we probably need to spend a little bit more time making sure that we are addressing what is asked in the most targeted way, as well as drawing distinctions wherever they're necessary. I noticed that the queue is clear. I think that as far as next steps for this particular document, I think, as I indicated, it just kind of came through the first pass where Marika has drafted our first response, and Heather and Donna and I have tweaked it a little bit around the margins. But I think the next step is we should circulate this to the council. I think it has been posted to the list, but only recently. So I would ask councilors to take a look at this, and let's see if we can get this finalized and sent out in the intervening time between now and our next meeting. And if it starts to look like it's something that's going to require a little bit more of a formal endorsement, then we can certainly wrap it around a motion and get that submitted. The other step that I would ask is for staff to send out a note to the SGNC leadership and check in on the status of their responses, whether they intend to submit those to the GNSO for us to relay, which seems a little clunky. It would be great if they could submit their responses directly to the CCWG co-chairs and the rapporteurs of this particular work stream. But I think that first off, we would need to make sure that they are clear on this request and what their expected responses should look like. So if we could take that away as an action item as well, that would be fantastic. Any other thoughts or comments on this particular item? We've got it circulated on the list, but if we could get it reviewed here in the next few days and get it finalized here for our next meeting, that would be great. Okay, thank you. Then moving on to agenda item number 10, and this is selection of GNSO representatives to the SSR review team. I'll just kind of set the stage here. This review team it wasn't clear whether this review team was going to be constituted under the old method, which was in the affirmation of commitments, or under the new method, which was in the new bylaws, the post-transition bylaws. The call for volunteers was put out, I guess, over the late summer. We have a slate of potential volunteers. As discussed, because the transition did in fact occur on October 1st, we now have the new selection method in place, which is painfully vague in terms of simply kicking this to the SONAC community leaders to make the selection. We have a slate of, I believe, nine individuals that are seeking GNSO endorsement and/or nomination to this particular review team. We, under the structure of the new selection process, we can submit three names that are, up to three names that are essential to that will essentially be guaranteed inclusion in the review team. We can submit an additional four names that would not necessarily be guaranteed, but could be used to balance the ultimate slate of members for diversity, gender, region, language. And then finally, the GNSO would have to, I believe, adopt the slate of all the final slate of members of the review team. So it's a complicated process, and I think that we're trying to get our arms around it. In the midst of all of this, we had a discussion in Hyderabad, and I think Susan and Ed very graciously asked to raise their hands on this, about putting together a more programmatic approach to not only to filling these slates of review teams, but also filling liaison roles and roles like the CSC liaison, and all these kinds of open positions that are very frequently dropped on our laps, where we have to call volunteers and evaluate candidates and ultimately make a recommendation to council that somebody should be adopted or endorsed. And the only question that I or concern that I have at this stage in the game is that those two efforts are occurring in parallel. And will we have a standing process and a group in place to consider this this review team? Do we have to work it through a more ad hoc process while we build that standing mechanism, or where do we go from here? And of course, the other members of the community would like to get started on this in January, which I think we've acknowledged is perhaps a bit ambitious. So, with that, I see Susan has her hand up, and Susan, please, the floor is yours. Thanks.
Thanks, James. And I need to stop putting my hand up, obviously, because I did not, you know, do the work on this in a timely manner, and I apologize for that. But Ed and I think we've made good progress this week, and I would view it, and Ed can give his opinion on this, but I would think we're like at least 75% there with some very good guidelines and a process. And I must give Julie Hedlund credit because she put together a process for the Customer Standing Committee. And Ed and I were both part of that to select a candidate. Of course, we only had one volunteer, so that was easy. But I do think that we need to sort of standardize the approach to any selections we make and be very thoughtful about it. So we are developing that. And I think we could possibly get something out next week to the whole working to whole council, and so that would allow us to, you know, provide the best candidates from the pool of GNSO candidates. So that's my thought process. But I see Ed's got his hand up, so I'm sure he has other comments.
Thanks for the update, Susan, and I'm actually encouraged. I think you guys are a little bit further along than I had thought, particularly given that, you know, we're so shortly removed from Hyderabad and a holiday week here in the U.S., so that's good news. Thanks. Ed, go ahead.
Yeah, just to give a big ditto to Susan. She's been tremendous to work with. I should say this has been a fun experience. And I think that, yeah, I mean, there was a meeting of the minds. And I think I hope everyone likes what we come up with, but it's a process that will be designed to get the best candidates from the GNSO externally and for internal appointments as well. Transparent. I'm excited. I hope folks like what we come up with. But, yeah, next week should be fine.
Okay. So, wow. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Susan. It sounds like you guys are a little bit further ahead than I had expected. So thank you for your efforts. And you certainly didn't let any moss grow around your feet on this one. So that's very, very much appreciated. It sounds like between so if you're able to get something circulated to the council by next week, that would be perfect, because I think really everyone on council sees the value of standardizing this process. And certainly, and I don't mean to put words in Donna's or Heather's mouths here, but I think speaking from the council leadership and the staff perspective, it's like we would certainly like some sort of a routine and predictable method for addressing these requests when they come up, because they are coming up more and more frequently, and we just it feels like we're constantly scrambling. So thanks for that. But it sounds like between this accelerated time frame for this process and the fact that we are likely going to push back on the original timeline that was put in front of us, we can probably use this process to fill this slate for this particular review team, or at least have you've given us a fighting chance to do so. Donna, go ahead.
Thanks, James. Just to support you, and thanks to Susan and Ed for picking this up, because I think any process that can add some predictability and efficiencies to the way that we do our work is greatly appreciated. And there's, you know, it seems that we're in this never-ending cycle of trying to find or appoint volunteers to various efforts. So I think this is great if we can set up a process that is going to suit us suit us and serve us in the longer term. I think that will be terrific, so thank you very much.
Thanks, Donna, and I guess wholeheartedly agree. This is something that's just coming up more and more frequently, and we need a process. So, okay, the queue is clear. I think the last I heard from Ed and Susan was that they feel like they're well on their way to producing something for council review sometime next week. I guess the next step then, we will look for that document, and then we will hopefully employ that process or you know, some reasonable reasonable variation of that process to fill out the slate of GNSO members to the SSR review team, and with the goal of getting that done probably early in the next year. So thank you very much for your work on that and for that update. Then moving to item number 11, which is planning for ICANN 58. Status summary is, I think we touched on this a little bit during the discussion at the beginning of the call, that we had this meeting earlier today. We took the consolidated feedback that was received on the questions of constituency day and high interest topics back to staff. I can report that I think that our concerns and our proposals were well heard. There is I think there is this natural asymmetry in the fact that the GNSO community values Constituency Day almost as paramount, whereas outside of the GNSO, it's almost, folks don't have any strong opinions at all on single day Constituency Day. So it does appear to be somewhat asymmetrical when we look at it and we get these groups together and start hammering out the schedule. But I think that next up, we're going to see some revised block schedules that will also include a process for identifying and selecting high interest topics. I think the other proposal was that was heard loud and clear in Hyderabad and was relayed to the staff in this morning's call was to reduce the number of high interest topics. I think that the number that we had in Hyderabad was, you know, determined to be pretty much unworkable, and I think that the consensus of the call today was that that number probably needs to be capped at around 3 or 4 and possibly even less. And then there was some discussion around scheduling those, particularly in light of other active policy development work like PDP face-to-face meetings. That's my synopsis of the call today. I don't know if Donna or Heather, who are also on the call, if you'd like to weigh in with your thoughts.
Thanks, James. It's Donna. I think you're putting a very glowing light on what happened on the call this morning, but good for you. I would just like to suggest to the council that perhaps, you know, what we might want to consider doing is a kind of a baked-in block schedule for the GNSO itself. I think this was something that Tony Holmes raised during a conversation with the council, and also I know he raised it in the public forum. But I think it would be particularly helpful if we could, as the GNSO, perhaps come to an understanding at least of, you know, the sessions that are important to our respective SGs and Cs, and also understand, you know, from a council perspective, what are our priorities? So I think that, you know, progressing PDPs is probably important, and also some of the work of the IRTs are probably important as well. So it might be helpful if we could prioritise some of that work as well, to understand what we would like to give priority to in terms of timing and allocation of sessions we're talking specifically about Copenhagen, so that might be helpful to do as well. One of the interesting things about the HIT is the high interest topics is I don't think there's a common understanding of what those sessions are supposed to be. I think the only criteria that we had around that with the meeting strategy working group was that they were supposed to be non-conflicted sessions. So they were supposed to be topics identified more or less by the community as a whole that we saw value in getting everybody in the room and having some discussion. So for Helsinki, that worked well because the meeting itself had a policy focus, we could you know, make sure that the PDPs that we currently have underway got some good airtime so that there was some good cross-community discussion during the HIT sessions. Probably didn't work so well in Hyderabad because we didn't have that perhaps, you know, laser focus on what we were doing for Hyderabad. So I just, you know, just as a takeaway, maybe if, you know, within your respective groups, if we could give some thought to, you know, A, what you think, you know, what are the sessions that you really want to see happen from your SG or C's perspective in Hyderabad that would enable, sorry, in Copenhagen, that would enable you to get through your particular work, and then perhaps from a council level, if we can elevate that and identify what are the, you know, the PDP efforts or the IRT efforts that we want to see make some significant progress. You know, I think it would be really good if we can, you know, we now have, you know, in the ICANN meets 3 times a year, which equates to 17 days of face-to-face time. And I think we sometimes miss an opportunity to progress some of the PDP work at those meetings because we go into a cycle of doing this 3 times a year rather than perhaps looking at it on an annual basis and seeing how we can get the most out of those 17 days and perhaps, you know, do a little bit more planning on an annual basis as well as the meetings itself. So that's just, you know, something that I think it would be helpful if we as the GNSO or representatives of the GNSO at the council can think about how we can make better use of our time. And in my mind, if we can identify what that kind of baked-in schedule looks like that Tony was talking about, and then kind of take that up a step further and identify what the priorities are for us as a council in terms of managing our priorities, I think that might be helpful as well. So sorry for the long-winded answer, James, but that's kind of my thinking on where I think we should go with this. Thanks.
Thank you, Donna. Appreciate your insights on this and your take on the meeting. I agree we probably should, and I think it was a good suggestion from Tony to start looking at what a fixed GNSO calendar looks like or schedule looks like for each of the three meetings, A, B, and C, and that we simply put that out to, you know, bring that to each of these planning sessions and say this is where we want to go. To that end, just another note is that we've usually asked each of the PDPs to identify which ones are interested in having a face-to-face meeting and an ICANN meeting. And last couple of times around, we got lucky because not all of them were in a position where they could, where they felt that their work would benefit from a face-to-face meeting. I don't think that's going to be the case going forward. I think all the PDPs are now sufficiently in a mature enough stage in their development or their life cycle that they will all be asking us for face-to-face time in the upcoming meetings, and so we should just be prepared for that when we come up with our block schedule. And then the final note, when you were talking about HITs, I do want to mention that McKelly offered feedback that the HIT sessions should have some sort of a clear outcome. Having HIT sessions that don't necessarily have outcomes start to look like we're just all gathering in a room to have a little bit of a chat, and they're not necessarily the most efficient use of time. And so that was also captured in the feedback and relayed into this group. So thank you for raising that point, McKelly. Next up in the queue, we have Susan. Go ahead.
Thanks, James. I don't have any answers to Donna's questions or recommendations at this time. I just wanted to bring everybody, make sure everybody was aware that European data protection authorities are looking at the Copenhagen meeting as an opportunity to, you know, meet and discuss the issues, mostly surrounding the WHOIS, but data in general, and have proposed that we allocate a whole day to that, and, you know, an hour and a half meeting with the board, an hour and a half meeting with the GNSO Council. And James, I think you've been in the loop on those emails. You know, because I'm vice chair of the RDS working group, you know, he included me in the emails, and I did chat with him a little bit at the Hyderabad meeting, but that would be problematic to getting all our other work done, though I have no issues with talking to the data protection authorities either. But I'm not sure that, you know, sort of an outside influence coming in and saying, hey, we want a whole day of your meeting is appropriate either. So I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that.
Thanks, Susan. Thanks for raising that. And I apologize. I think I do recall seeing some of those messages, but maybe I just didn't go over them as thoroughly as I needed to. I'll go back and take another look at those. Okay, Paul, save us a piece of cake. Happy birthday to your daughter. The queue is clear on this. I think the message here is that the encouraging news is that we're starting this process early, that we are getting well out in front of this to avoid a repeat of the experience that we had in Hyderabad, and in recognition that, you know, folks are going to disappear from, for holidays and the end of the year for a couple weeks. And so we actually need to get out in front of this. And I think that if you can continue to submit this sort of feedback, I'm not sure when we have our next SOAC meeting to discuss this, but I think as a takeaway, I think I haven't heard any objections to the idea that we work on some sort of a template or a standard block schedule for GNSO events for each of the three meeting structures, and that we start working from that as a starting point when we get into discussions with these other groups, and that we then tailor, frankly, just say, you know, tailor around this, because this is kind of what the bulk of our community is coming to these meetings to accomplish, that plus the PDPs. So we have 2 minutes remaining. We have one open item for AOB, which is the meeting calendar for 2017. And I just want to note, I don't know if staff can load that fairly quickly, and we'll go over that fairly expeditiously here. But the meeting calendar follows pretty much the same script that you all have come to know and love in 2016, in that we have two rotating time slots. We try to hit Thursday each time. We try to avoid major recognized holidays where folks would be likely to, you know, not want to participate in ICANN meetings. We also tried to avoid the month of August entirely, but I think that started to bunch up the meetings to the point where we had, because of the way the ICANN calendar fell, we had a number of meetings in September and October that were kind of right on top of each other, you know, and that also is not necessarily a good, an efficient calendar. So what we'd like to do here is we had some thoughts of folks weigh in with their views, with their proposals to move a couple of things around so that we didn't conflict with holidays. I thank everyone for their input on that. But here's what we have for the proposed meeting calendar for 2017. Not going to ask anyone to offer their thoughts now, but if you could, please, in the next couple of days, if you could, and certainly before our next meeting, if you could please weigh in with your, if you spot any particular conflicts here or anything that you believe would, not just your own schedule, but if you believe it would significantly detriment any counselor's ability to participate, please flag those for us. But I think we've got something pretty close here with the healthy interval in between each meeting. That is all I wanted to offer under item 12.1 for AOB. Any other items for discussion?
James, this is Heather. Could I go in the queue just to make a comment on the AOB?
Yes, Heather, you're in the queue, and then we also have a question for Rafiq on the schedule. Rafiq, did you want to raise the question about the time slots?
Yes.
Go ahead, Rafiq. I could read out your chat. Rafiq is asking if we only have the two time slots, and the answer is we had three previously. We consolidated it down to two. I don't know if that's posing a problem, but please.
Yes. So yeah, that's why I was asking. I mean, well, it's personally, okay, it's six for this, like 6 a.m. But I mean, I think I can I can maybe live with that. Just was wondering if what was the rationale to reduce to just two time slot. I think three maybe can offer some flexibility. It's hard to accommodate different time zone, but just was wondering what was the rationale to narrow it down to just two time slot.
I think we can. We can discuss that now that we have some new counselors, although I don't think we've necessarily changed our spread, if you will, from our most extreme time zone. But I think primarily we were looking for simplicity. We were trying to share the pain as much as possible so that folks who were inconvenienced for one time zone found a more reasonable time slot for the next meeting and then you know, just rotated around like that. It's certainly something that we can revisit. Glenn has a nice spreadsheet that she can put together as a time zone review tool that we can reopen that and just kind of take a look at just how ugly some of the proposed time zones are for each. I think that we have that we can certainly take a look at that for 2017 as well, Rafiq. I would note that we captured, or at least thought we captured, your time zone in this rotation, but we can take another look at that. I'm sorry, Heather, you've been patiently waiting. So, Heather, go ahead before we lose you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, James. This is Heather. This would be my last intervention before they tackle me. So I wanted to express support, unsurprisingly, for the idea of sharing the pain. I think it's a great idea if we don't, privilege any time zones over others to the extent that we can help it, while also bearing in mind that, James, your job is pretty difficult, and we need to try and keep it within, reasonable hours for sure for the chair, so that that's not a problem. And I recognize that we have a meeting coming up next that has West Coast U.S. in a pretty poor spot. So to the extent that we can, make that as seldom as possible for any time zone, that's a good thing. And I also wanted to express support for the comment that was made in relation to being mindful of not having meetings too close together. I think we've had in the latter half of this year several instances where we've been sitting at the council table or on a call like this and noting that the deadline for motions for the next meeting is within hours or days. And to the extent that we can avoid that, because it's really impractical to go back to SGs and Cs, brief them on the results of this meeting and discuss future things and try and do that over the course of a weekend. It's just not reasonable. So we need to do what we can to avoid that too. And with that, I'm afraid I'll sign off and thank everyone and see you all on the 15th. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Heather. Great thoughts. And please don't get tackled by security. Please tell them that you're saving the internet and they will have to deal with all of us.
I always do, James. Always.
Have a good point. And
thanks.
Yeah,
bye.
That is exactly the point. We are trying to avoid not only having a one time zone privileged, but also to avoid these really short intervals that we saw in September, and I think that we have right now. I think the lesson there is that doesn't make us more efficient. That just kind of leaves us with scrambling to hit another document cutoff. So we are 5 minutes over our time, so I thank you for those of you who stuck with us. Do we have any other new items of business that folks would like to raise before we sign off for this particular call? Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, just quick question. I see Mary. 15th at 1200. Okay, that's 7 a.m. Eastern. All right, I'll be up bright and early that day. That's it.
Thanks,
you'll
Phil.
Be up even earlier, James.
A little bit earlier, and headed your way. But that's a topic for another discussion. Okay, so thank you very much to everyone who participated, and of course, thank you for those of you who volunteered for various action items and takeaways from this call, and we certainly appreciate everything that you do. ICANN runs on volunteers, and the GNSO is no exception. With that, we'll go ahead and close the call, and certainly appreciate everyone's efforts between now, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. We can stop the recording.